We'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our visitors with us this morning. Appreciate you coming. Just to let you know, I'm not the regular minister. Now, the sermon last week, you already knew, see, they knew that already. The sermon last week, Mark talked about, his title was, I am no fill in the blank. Well, I am no preacher, but I stayed at the Holiday Inn last night. So I want to start out with the kindergartners. Kindergartners, you know, they can be a little bit ornery sometimes, and sometimes they get into calling names, and sometimes they call themselves names. And so the teacher was having a little problem with some of the kids were saying, oh, I'm so dumb, I'm dumb. So she thought she'd do some, have a little talk about that. So she says to the kindergartner, they were sitting down, and she says, okay, anybody who thinks they're dumb, stand up. And nobody stood up. And pretty soon, little Johnny stood up. Why isn't it always little Johnny? Why isn't it, you know, why isn't it Fred or Wilfer or somebody? But Johnny stood up, and the teacher said, oh, now, Johnny, do you really think you're dumb? And Johnny says, no, but I didn't want you standing up there all by yourself. So I look around. So if you would, please pray for me and pray with me. God above us, God beside us, and God before us, please be within us today as we study your word and help us to take our learnings and put them into action as we go forward in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the mistakes I've made is I always thought commandment number 2 was love thy neighbor as thyself. It's always been my favorite. And I find out that's not really the commandment. You know, where that comes from is Jesus was explaining the commandments. And so someone asked him, what is the greatest commandment? And if I can find it here, 12, may I get the right one? And here's what he said. The first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. My favorite scriptures are in Corinthians, what they call the love scripture. Now, before I go on to that, though, I really think that in this world, if we had more people that would practice the second greatest commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself, our world would be a whole lot better off. We'd have a lot less strife, a lot less violence, and everything would be much better. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Thank you. So my favorite scriptures in the Bible are the what they call the love scriptures. And I've spoken about that before each time that I've had the opportunity and the privilege of filling this pulpit, I've talked about love. So that's my favorite part. And here's what the Bible says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So love is my favorite part of the scriptures. But as I was reading one of my daily devotionals, it's been some time back, and I read, it was 1 Thessalonians that Carol read for you this morning, and it said in there, we should build others up. And that really caught my attention. You know, I really got a hold of that. I think that building others up is going a step beyond love. You know, to say, you know, I love Rex Haven, and he probably knows that, and so that's it. This is what you see, you know. But we need to go another step beyond that. Love makes others feel good. I don't know if you watch the American Idol, one of the judges on American Idol is Jennifer Lopez. And one of the things Jennifer says, J-Lo says a lot of times is, it gives me the goosies. Love gives me the goosies. I hope it gives you the goosies. So how does a person know that we love them? You know, that's all and well, but we need to be more proactive. We need to go a little further and do something more. We need to do something so that they feel and they see. Maybe something a little bit more tangible than just knowing that we love them. We need to take some action. So what does it mean to build someone up? It means taking some positive action. You know, making a person feel like they've done something good, being proactive. Making them feel like they've done something good, or making them feel like they can do something good. So we build them up. Building their self-esteem, helping them feel better about themselves, maybe overshadowing doubt. Inspiring others so that they can do more, and people can and will do more if they're built up, if they're inspired, than they thought they could, or that you thought they could. We all have a tendency to look at the negative. Well, I could never preach. I could never give the prayer. I could never be the liturgist. I could never lead the singing. You know, we have a tendency to say, never, no, I can't do that. And I'm not sure why it is that God built us that way. That's kind of the way it is. Look at the news media. You know, it's most all negative that you see. Well, it seems like we're more interested in that. TV and newspapers, here last week, I don't know if you heard it or not, but I happened to catch this on a TV program that in Dallas, Texas, there were a group of kids that had a lemonade stand. They made $10,000 to give to the families of the policemen that were killed down there. And I asked this morning, how many of you heard of that? How many of you heard that story? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us, 6 of us, you know, out of the whole thing. So we'd hardly ever hear the newspaper and the media, they want to sell newspapers, right? And what sells is what our interest is. And it happened to be, unfortunately, focused on the negative. But that's what sells. We need, same thing with ourselves. You know, we focus on things we can't do or mistakes we've made. Oh, I shouldn't have done that, or I can't do that. A lot of times we compare ourselves to other people. Well, I'm not as good as so-and-so, or so-and-so's got this, you know. Paul has a convertible 1966 Chevy, and I'm like, oh, I wish I had that. I don't have a 66 Chevy, I've got a 96 Honda, you know. But we have a tendency to look at what I don't have, you know, that glass being half empty. So I'm kind of a nuts and bolts guy. How do we go about building people up? You know, a lot of times we hear sermons or we have people say, oh, you ought to do better. But they never tell you, well, here's how you do better. This is what would be better. Well, the first one we think of, and probably the easiest, is by giving praise to people. You know, look for positive things in people, and then the proactive thing is you need to tell them. You know, for example, I love Alan Watts. I don't know, he probably doesn't feel a lot. But you know what? Alan will step forward and do anything. If you say, hey, the church needs this, or the church needs that, he and Jackie are right there to do it. You know, but do we ever tell him? But you know, now that I tell him that, I'm building him up, I'm sure that the next time something comes up and I say, hey, Alan, would you do this? He's going to be saying, you bet, I'll be glad to do it. You know, Ricky Ferguson, up back here. Ever seen a time when something needed to be done and Ricky wasn't, I'll do it right away. You know, I mentioned it to Bob Pape. I mentioned Bob Pape this morning. I used him as an example. He works around the church, but he also fixes his sister-in-law or Audrey's sister's car. And he does a lot of other things for people, you know. And I used him as an example. And guess what? As we come out of early church, he was in there in the office getting a electrical tester, he says, I got to go out and fix that fountain up front. You know, you built me up, and now I got to get back to work here. And go. So you see, you know, Wendy did a great job of doing the announcements this morning, you know. And so I know that I can look forward to my favorite meal for dinner tonight. Sometimes you also can benefit from it even a little bit more. So if we praise people, they can and will do more than you might expect, more than they expect. Now, I'm from Nebraska, the football capital of the world, right? Okay. But I remember when it wasn't that way. When I was a kid growing up, they had nothing. They couldn't beat the eighth grade team where I came from. They were awful for years. But my dad, he was a big fan, and we always had to listen to Nebraska football every Saturday afternoon. The benefit was that we didn't have to go out and make fence or do something else. We got to sit around the radio for a little while and listen. But in 1962, the Cornhuskers hired a guy by the name of Bob Devaney from Wyoming, coach of Wyoming. And Bob was kind of a short guy, frumpy looking kind of a guy, actually. And he came in there and he had no talent. I mean, they didn't have any physical talent, good players. They didn't have the All-Americans or anything like that. But the second year, they started winning football games. And you know how he did it? He did it by building those players up. They would come out. He was a motivational speaker. Bob could get those guys. They come out of a locker room, higher than a kite, and they were ready to knock anybody down in front of them, and they did. But they won a lot of games just by being built up, by believing we can do it. And that's what Bob Devaney would do. It's what he did for the great football team of Nebraska. I have to say that one last time. People will do things that you don't expect them if you build them up. You know, remember the story about Zacchaeus. Jesus was going to Jericho, and you know, everybody wanted to see him, and they lined the streets. Now, remember, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Tax collectors were not very well thought of. They were rich, but people didn't like them very well. And Zacchaeus was a little guy, and he couldn't see Jesus riding down the street because everybody else lined the street, and he wasn't tall enough to look over. So remember, he goes down, and Zacchaeus climbed up in the sycamore tree so he could see him. So as Jesus is coming in, he had never met Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus had never met him. But as Jesus is coming in, and he approaches the sycamore tree, he says, Zacchaeus, called him by name. Come down, I'm going to your house. Jesus built Zacchaeus up. Zacchaeus was not 4'6" now. He's 10 foot tall. He's riding on the waves, and he's feeling really good. Jesus built Zacchaeus up just by recognizing him. And here's what Zacchaeus said after Jesus recognized him. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back 4 times what I've taken from them. Now, do you think that if Jesus had just rode on by Zacchaeus and never recognized him, that he would have given half of his possessions? You know, he was a tax collector. He was used to gathering and keeping his possessions. He gave half of his possessions away to the poor because Jesus built him up and Jesus recognized him. At one time, I was a school teacher. I know it's hard to say. And where's Jim Owens? He's probably saying, oh, my goodness, you know. But at one time, I was a school teacher, and I taught in a poverty area school in Council Bluffs, Iowa. And these kids were, it was a vocational school, and they were from the other side of the tracks, you know, or actually, in this case, from the other side of the river is where they came from. And they were lived in a poverty area. A lot of these kids were mistreated. Now, I had them as seniors in high school, and a lot of them were mistreated. They were criticized by their parents. They were beaten down. Some of them were physically beaten, and they were really beaten down. But through the course of my teaching there, I discovered how much just a little bit of praise, encouragement, and building up can do to somebody that's down at the bottom. A lot of these kids went on, some of them went on to own their own business. Most of them were very successful in the careers that they had. And I think a lot of it was because they found someone, an employer or someone, that built them up and said, you can do this. You can do this. Remember Nehemiah? Nehemiah rebuilt the walls, and he did it in 52 days, less than 2 months. They were all destroyed, burned up, and that sort of thing. And you know, I've always wondered, how could that be? You know, how could you do that? And so I read this, and I think it's in the Bible somewhere. I'm not a scholar on the Bible, but I think it's in the Bible somewhere, and it tells how he did it. And he divided the walls up into little sections, and he assigned people. He would have the family do this section, and a different family was working on this. The priest was working on this. The Kiwanis Club was working on this one. People from Facebook probably somewhere was working on this one. He divided it up, and they all had a small section to build, okay? But the supplies and the resources that he had to build it with were not very good. They had to use a lot of the old rocks that were broken, timbers that were burned and tore up. The working conditions were terrible, and they didn't have supplies. So they had to make do. So they worked with that. And then, to top it all off, then they had the enemies, the Amorites and the Arabs, Tobiah. They came and started fighting them. They didn't want them rebuilding that wall. So they came and started fighting them. So now they had to build and protect themselves at the same time. But they did it. They built the wall in 52 days. Don't you know that Nehemiah had to be the greatest coach ever? He had to be running around constantly. You can do this. You can do this. One more thing would happen and say, we can get her done. You can do this. Nehemiah built the people up so they would do what they could, do even more than they thought they could, to build that wall in 52 days. You know? So building people up, that's what the lesson is about today. Another way that we can build people up besides praise is listening to them. People like to be listened to. Showing interest in someone. You know, we all want to be heard. We want to feel important, feel knowledgeable, that we know something. We want people to listen to us. You know, and if I see somebody out here this morning listening to me, actually listening to me, this sermon may go on till 2 o'clock. Just kidding. How many times, though, are we listening to someone and we got the glassy eyes and but we're thinking about, as soon as he takes a breath, here's what I'm going to say. And so we're not really listening. We need to look people in the eye, focus and listen to exactly what they're saying and be interested in them. I used to be a bus driver till they hung this thing on me. But as a bus driver, I drive a lot of sports teams, and I show interest. I'm out there yelling at them when they're getting off the bus. I'm encouraging, picking them up. We got a lot of drivers that don't do that. They move them from here to there, and the kids, you know, they don't really care for it. They trash their bus and everything. But I've had many compliments. The players say, gee, we've never had a bus driver come out and yell for us. But I do that. I want to build them up. I'm also a little bit crazy, but I like to build them up. Focus on it. Ask people. Another way is to ask people's opinion. You know, if you ever notice, if you have something you want to do, and if I'm going to buy a new car or something, and I say to Glenn, what do you think about these Honda cars? It builds him up. He's going to say, hey, Francis thinks I know something. Build him up. So asking people's opinion. Another way is to let people win. When you're having a conversation, let people win. Let them have the last idea. You know, you ever get into, I know have gotten into joking with somebody. And I used to do this with my students. And, you know, they say a joke, and then I got one a little better, and I've got a barb back at them and they better, and you go back and forth. Let somebody win. Say, oh, that's good enough, you know. You got the joke on me. When I was teaching school, I used to let kids win. I'd set myself up as the brunt of the joke because I knew it made them feel good. I'd let them win, you know, and they were like, all right, I'm feeling good about that. And you know how I felt? I felt good because I made them feel good. I built them up. So let people have the last word. Joel Osteen says you can make a difference. And I want to tell you another story that I heard of. I think this was a pretty good one. This fourth grade teacher, you know how fourth graders can be a little bit hard to handle sometimes, be disruptive and hard to get them focused. And so this one particular day, the kids were extremely disruptive, and the teacher finally says, "Stop, close your books. Everybody take out a sheet of paper." Now, if you remember back in the fourth grade, if the teacher says, "Close your book and take out your paper," there was one of two things probably going to happen. You either were in a lot of trouble, or we're going to have a pop quiz. But the teacher says, "Take out a piece of paper. On the left-hand side of that paper, I want you to write the name of every student in this class." And she gave them some time to do that. They did that. She said, "Now, on the other side, I want you to write something good, one thing good about every one of those students." Now, don't you know, there's some students there going, "Oh, man, that kid there, he picks on me." They had to struggle, but they did it. End of the class, they handed them all in. Teacher took them home. She compiled them, typed them up, and the next day when the students came, she gave them each their list. And the kids were amazed. They were looking down their list going, "Gee, I didn't know that he thought I was cute. I didn't know that she liked my hair." And it started building them up, and they had their list, okay? Fast forward a few years later, number of years later, one of the students from that class was in a military action and was killed in military action, and they were having his funeral. And the teacher went to the funeral, and there were some of those students from that same class there. So at the funeral, as she's walked by the casket, and she paused for a moment, and the father of the young man came forward and said, "You know, you had my son in the fourth grade, and I think you should have this." And he handed her a piece of paper that was all kind of crumpled up, folded, and dirty and dark. And he said he carried this with him everywhere he went in his billfold all of his life. And she opened it up, and it was a list of what those kids had written about him that day. Other students in that class were there, came forward, and started saying, "Yeah, I've got my list too. I carry it with me." And the other students said, "You know, mine's at home. I kept mine." This teacher had no reason to think that the impact she had on those kids by building them up and making them feel good. You can make a tremendous impact. One of the biggest things that changed my life was one time at a Kiwanis convention, I got to hear Norman Vincent Peale speak on the power of positive thinking. I went home and got his book and read it. I've actually read the book several times. If you haven't read that book, it's great. Always look for the positive. Sometimes you have to look kind of hard to find positive things to say about a few people, but look and you will find them at some way or another. So, in going forth, remember the second greatest commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. But take it one step further now. The Thessalonians, it says, therefore encourage one another and build up each other as indeed you are doing. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you're not done with me yet. Wendy lines up the speakers several months ahead, I think. And so she lined me up today to sign, and then later on I found out I was going to be preaching. So,